Rabotai, we did a fascinating Rav Gusman, where Rav Gusman has a mahalach, where he suggests that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim will actually be totally in the machlokas Rishonim. We had seen that the Rambam and Gaonim, in the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, the Rambam created a case where you had Nascha de Rabbi Abba, where one aide saw the fellow that was Chotef, and the fellow admitted in Chatfi. In such a case, he says, I took 20 whatever it was. What was the currency in the case of the Rambam? 20 dinar? 20 zehuvim? He took 20 zehuvim, and he admitted to that he took, but he said, I never took anything that doesn't belong to me. I just took that which belongs to me in these 20 zehuvim. So the halach of the Rambam says is that he doesn't need to make shuas mitzvahs, in contrast to shitas ha-gaonim. What's the hesber and the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim? So Rav Gusman suggested that the Rambam seems to be closer to the Ritva that we saw 2 days before, that the Rambam is of the opinion that in such a case it's considered as if there's no raglayim ludover that he's a liar, because I didn't admit to doing anything wrong. I just took what I said. You, I don't know you from Adam. The only thing I know you from is that you took something that belonged to me. I don't know you from anything. So if I don't know you from anything, so there's no raglayim ludover that I owe you anything, so why should I be chayv shuas mon mitzvahs? Well, the Gaonim are going to understand, no, the Gaonim are going to understand, just if there is a case in which there is a relationship, like the relationship that's created through Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua, there's no reason to believe that I'm chayiv. Gilgul Shvua, there's no reason to believe I'm chayiv. That's how Rav Gusman, right? Rav Gusman on the other side seems to equate it to Gilgul. And since there's no, even though there's no reason to believe I'm chayiv on this, on the other 50, nevertheless, once there is, we got you into Beis Din, that you now have a relationship with this Baal Chol because of the rule that you now have to pay back those 20. Once you have that that rule in place, Max, come, this is Spaffy right here. So in such a case, once we say that, so then the halacha is that you're going to be, once you chayiv on this 20, so then in such a case, you're going to make a shvus modem mixas on the other 20. Mitsuyan, that was the machlokas. I just want to evoke some of your critical thinking before we start today's Mar Makomo. And that is, Rabosai, do you think that Rav Gusman's pshat is mukhra? Is there, for a pshat to be MS, for it to cross the threshold of our barometer of MS, we would need that the pshat to be mukhra. In other words, what do I mean by mukhra? I'm about to teach you yisochem in Amelus. And that is the following. For a pshat to be mukhrach, in this case, it needs to, for a Gusman to be really a pshat for us to say, yes, this is the pshat in the Rambam, it needs to be that there's no other way to explain the Rambam except the way Rav Gusman explains it. If we could give another way to explain the Rambam, so then in such a case, Rav Gusman's pshat is no longer mukhrach. So now let's focus on his hesber in the Rambam, leaving aside the Gaonim. And that is, he says, well, why is it that you're going to be potter according to the Rambam? Must be, he says, because the requirement of shuas modem mitzvahs is raglayim ladover. You need a raglayim ladover to make a shuas modem mitzvahs. That's how Rav Gusman explained. Question is whether there's another way to explain the Rambam, and thereby say, wait a second, Rav Gusman's pshat is not entirely mukhrach in the Rambam. Yes, Eliezer Shlomo?
I don't know another way to explain.
So that's what I'm looking for. So just a second. Wait. I want to know if there's another way. Then, yeah, Moshe?
It says pretty straight up that if he was not able to be co-parent, then that's not of Shuas Mordemitzas.
So what's the Svara? Presumably because Raglayim Ladavar. That's his argument. What's the Svara, argues Rav Gusman, because of Raglayim Ladavar?
It's possible to create Raglayim Ladavar without having been able to be co-parent. If you admit, yeah, I know this guy, you're creating Raglayim Ladavar, but there was already a previous chiyuv.
Is there a, do you agree with him that there's, that the only way to explain it is Raglayim Ladavar or not? That's my question.
I'm trying to explain it differently, I think.
Okay. Yeah. You're saying it's based on Raglayim Ladavar like the Ritva, but a different type of Raglayim Ladavar?
You're saying that it's solely based on whether or not you were able to be co-parent, if you were we're not able to be kofar, then...
No, that's not Rav Gusman's point. Rav Gusman is not going on Mamon Sheni Yochel Lichvar, he's going in the case of Eid Echad. So don't use the term Mamon Sheni Yochel Lichvar. So some of the Talmidim came over to me, and they said in discussion with Rav Shlomo Creditor, I think he made a very, very powerful point. I think Rav Gusman's pshat is not entirely mukhrach, as much as I love Rav Gusman, and I love his way of thinking. It's not entirely mukhrach. How many different possibilities did we have of what is the mechayev of Shuas Modim Mitzvahs? Let's count together. Let's recap our week's worth of work. We had one pshat that it's a gzeres hakasav, our tosos, and we had Tosos and Ksubas add a couple of words to Xeris HaKosav. Xeris HaKosav that you need Kfira and Oda. That's one pshat. Another pshat was that there's Raglai and Ladover that he's a liar. That's the Ritva's pshat. A third pshat that we add was Gilgul, which was Tosos and Tosa Rosh. And finally, I would like to just add that maybe it's none of those pshatim, but just Ishtemute Kamishtamit. The Ishtemute Kamishtamit is enough. Now, there's a reason why Tosos didn't use Ishtemute Kamishtamit. But you could read the simplest pshat, actually from the Gemara, is not what the Rishonim say, which just says Ishtemute Kamishtamit. Why all these Rishonim did not say Ishtemute Kamishtamit is a very, very interesting question. Why the Gemara didn't say that Svar of Ishtemute Kamishtamit? But either way, those are four possibilities. If I had to summarize the Yesodos in the Sugya, which is not the pshat, which is not the most important thing, but the Yesodos is that those are four possibilities. For Rav Gusman's pshat to be mukhrach in the Rambam, it has to be mukhrach that he's working with the idea of raglayim ledavar. So, Rabosai, is this raglayim ledavar mukhrach or not? So, the Chura, the Talmidim pointed out beautifully, the Talmidim pointed out that according to Tosos, it's Xeris HaKosav Kiyuzeh. What exactly is this Xeris HaKosav? So Tosos and Ksubis on Yuches adds that the Xeris HaKosav is that there's a Kfira and a Hodah. Okay? You with me? That there's a Kfira and a Hodah. That's the Xeris HaKosav. That there's a Kfira and a Hodah. Here, you could understand the Rambam has nothing to do with Raglayim Ledavar, but it's being based on the idea that it's not called a Hodah. I didn't admit to anything. I said, in Chatfi v'didi Chatfi. So it's not called a Hodah. Me'echi Teisir, Rav Gusman is right, that it's based on Raglayim Ledavar. I could just as well put the pshat in the Rambam as Xeris HaKosav that you need a Hodah. And here there's no Hodah, because I said, in Chatfi v'didi Chatfi. Gusman's always geschmack to do, because you see his style, special style of thinking, but you always, at the end of the day, you always have to ask yourself whether Rav Gusman's pshat is mukhrach. And in this case, it's not. I don't see that Rav Gusman's pshat is mukhrach in the Rambam. I wouldn't say chasachli Rav Gusman is wrong, and I wouldn't. And we're nothing compared to Rav Gusman, but at the end of the day, here Basheru Sham, us learning up the sugya, it's okay for us to say that the pshat is not entirely mukhrach in the Rambam. You can learn the Rambam as saying that it's based on hodah. It's not called a hodah. It's an inchatvi didichatvi. If that's so you don't need to say that. It's going with those Rishon say raglayim ledavar, and then that makes the great Rav Gusman's pshat from our perspective, from our corner, as not being entirely mukhrach. Avram, you have a retort? I thought you said
no. I know. I was just going to say, with Kosha also, it's even more, you could fit the line with other.
Okay. Eliezer Shlomo, I cut you off beforehand. It's okay?
Yes, Yonatan.
Rabosai, we're now going to go to the famous Kasha of the Rashba. It's a very, very famous kasha on our sugya. Now, the Rajba itself is a shas kasha. Don't worry, Yotan, I didn't forget about you. The Rajba is a shas kasha. But in order to appreciate the Rajba, we're also going to use this as an opportunity to review the Mineyu Bey of the Gemara itself. The inherent structure of the Gemara, and then we're going to go to the Rajba's very, very famous kasha. And it should be familiar to some of you. Is it familiar to some of you? This is a simon of how much you were holding in shear in the beginning of this month. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Yonatan.
I was wondering if you could clarify that for one more time. We're rejecting that.
Who are we to reject Rav Guzman?
Oh, like
we're asking on Rav Guzman. What we're asking Rav Guzman on Rav Guzman is that who says that the pshat in the Rambam is it's based on raglayim ledover? That maybe the pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam understands and it's based on the Xeris HaKosov, that if you have a kfira and oda and a kfira, that's called molda mitzvah. Without understanding of raglayim ledover, without gilgul, nothing. It's just the Xeris HaKosov, like Tosis and Ksubas had said, like our Tosin. Presumably our Tosin is, you one day maybe could say Shir, why did Tosis and Bava Metzia not say Kfir of Oda? But I'm assuming that Tosis and Ksubas and Tosis and Bava Metzia are the same thing. So like our Tosis and like the Tosin and Ksubas. And therefore, if that's so, so then the pshat to say that the Rambam only could be explained based on raglayim ledover, no. The Rambam could say it's not called a hodah. Okay. Now let's take a look at the Rajba. So before we start the Rajba, let us do a week's worth of chazara. How do we do a week's worth of chazara? What we do is the following. We say, why is it that we met that a shvua modem mitzas? Why is it that a person makes a shvua modem mitzas? According to Rashi, he could be considered a meshiv aveda. According to Tosos, he should have a migu to pater himself from a shvua. To which the Gemara answers, Ishtamute kam ishtamit, let's go in the track of Tosfos. I'm sorry, Chazok ein ad meiz. The Gemara answers the question, Chazok ein ad meiz. And because ein ad meiz, so in such a case, you can't say that I have a migu diboy kofar akol. So far, so good, Max. His migu diboy kofar akol falls away. To which the Gemara then, according to Tosfos, comes back and says, wait a second, but at the end of the day, we know that there is a shvua that the guy needs to make. That means we don't trust him. That means he's a meiz. If he's a meiz, then he could have been meiz even stronger. And therefore, he should have a migu. And that's Tosfos' follow-up question, the implicit question, to which the Gemara answers, Ishtemute kamishtavit. That's how Tosfos learns. Implicit in the Gemara's teretz of the original question of why don't you have the migu is something absolutely fascinating in a question and answer. And that is that a migu would work to exempt you from a shvua, but the migu doesn't work in other meyas. Rabosai, could you think back into different types of migus, strengths and weaknesses? How could you possibly interpret the words of our Gemara? You know how you can interpret the words of the Gemara? That the Gemara is saying, you don't have a migu to exempt you from a shvua because migu da ha'aza lo aminan chazaka ein ada meis pana b'fnei b'chovo. That's a migu da ha'aza. Who does not understand why this would be called a migu da ha'aza? That's going to be the assumption of the Rashba, that what the Gemara is answering is a famous yeshivish term. And that's the term a migu da ha'aza lo amrinan. Fascinating. That's all we need to know to understand this Rashba. Good? Beautiful. Comes along the Rashba, the kasha l'cha. I'll ask you a kasha on that whole pshat. Da amrinan migu b'ay gavna. One Gemara is against another Gemara, because we say migu. Bahani easy dachlin chushla b'narda. Now, Rabosai, is a little confusing, this case. I myself had to review to look up the case. I'll tell you, even before I came into Shir, to be 100% sure that I read the Gemara, after I looked it up correctly, I looked up the art school to be sure. There's nothing wrong to do that. Rav Shai said, only Rav Ginsburg's allowed to do it, because he's mechut with Rabbi Malinowitz. So I said, no, I disagree. I'm allowed to also. Any Jew that's trying to understand these strange Aramaic words is allowed to look it up. So the case is the following. The case is that there were goats that were eating, that you had a farmland, Shimon had farmland, and goats came into his land to eat, and they ate his stuff. And the guy was afraid, Shimon was afraid, that Reuven's goats are going to get away with it. And that Reuven's going to get away with it. So what did he do? So the Rajba doesn't spell out. This is why you have to look up the Gemara. In my Rajba, they don't even, on the text, they don't give us the daf. Did they give you the daf by you? Good, okay, at least you had the daf. So the Rajba there says that in such a case, and the Gemara says, what happened was Shimon grabbed Reuven's goats. All right? He grabbed his goats, and he said, I'm not giving you back the goats until you pay me for all the stuff that... And the Gemara there adds, the Gemara, the art scroll, adds that he ate a lot of grain. He ate a lot of grain over there. Okay? So hani easy dachin chushu benardot amrin alav the periches kasabatim diyachaliton ad kedei demand. See, the art scroll is bothered. Why it's ad kedei demand? He was allowed to be demand the amount of grain to the value of the goats itself. That means that it got it. That's why the art scroll added that point. Ad kedei demand that it was that they ate a tremendous amount of grain. It could be the Gemara already alludes to this, that they ate a tremendous amount of grain. And now says the Amora over there. You know what? Let's be as accurate as possibly mine passing above a Basra. The Amora over there says that Shimon, could hold on to the goats as much as I want. Up until the value of the goats I could hold on to. And I could say, you have to pay me back if the goats are worth 100. I could say, I'm not giving you back the goats until you pay me 100. More than 100, I'm not going to be able to be Toveahim. But less than, but 100 or less, the value of the goats itself, that I'll be able to be Toveahim. The Amora's name was Avuah de Shmuel. It was Avuah de Shmuel. So Avuah de Shmuel, that's what Avuah de Shmuel said. Tov.
Is there a story behind that? Why are you going in on?
Yeah, because I only have a taina up until that amount. Anything more than that's he says, she says. It's just one person's word against the next. There's no Aiden that says that I'm chayef. So that's his Eitza. To which then the Gemara follows up. The Gemara in Cheskes Abatim is talking about it. Because the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim says, what chashivas does it have that I'm holding on to goats? Because goats are not things that... Hagodros Eilem Chazaka. That's when the Gemara discusses whether there's any proof that I have that the goats are my Rishos. Just because I'm holding on to the goats, who says I have any Tevi'im? So that's what the Gemara discusses over there. That's why the Gemara brings that up, that case. Analyzes the Rashba. Va'afagav d'chiyomer hachi v'hachi. He said versus he said, and no one knows who's telling the truth. There's no reason that Shimon is believed more than Reuven. But when Shimon says, Shimon the farmer, all of a sudden says that he's become a shepherd, all of a sudden he became a shepherd, the day in which his grain was eaten, that's, come on, that's not very likely. Everybody knows that migu, that I could have said that it's mine. Everybody knows it's not really true. So what do we see? Rabosai, can anybody finish off? What's the Rajba's kasha? Josh, go ahead. What's the Rajba's kasha? I thought you started saying it. What's the Rajba? He's being made his fun of. And what do we see? So now put into Bamatzila Daf Gimel. I'm very proud that Josh always wants to have clear the Daf himself. So let's do it in the Daf himself. No, seriously. So what? Now put it, Josh, teach us how it's in the Daf itself.
Because I think this goes against the Mizanda that we said.
It goes against, but I want you to say it a lot sharper. I don't think you put it l'shitascha. I don't think you put it in the pshat well enough. Put it in the pshat. You're saying you're making exert. You're speaking like sometimes I'm guilty of. You're saying ha'aza. I want you to put it into the pshat. Tell me exactly which part of the Gemara is difficult.
I think on Daf Gimel of an Aleph.
Yes, good.
Just in the court, when we said Ibn Amr Torah, I'm not going to go far. When we said Chazaka, you know the main spawn of.
But say there. So here we say in Adam Beyaz, you got to spell out the kasha. What's the exact kasha?
I think is it a kasha on the Gemara? I think it's a kasha on the Gemara.
Good. I think it's a kasha on Tosas' pshat in the Gemara.
so I'm not sure.
Forget about what I just said about Tosas. Say it yourself in Gemara. It could be you learned something.
That Gemara, the guy's being based on. I'm going to say the same thing.
Spell out. Let's take it to this logical extreme.
The guy's being Kofar HaKol and he's being based on.
Okay.
Right? In our Gemara, we just said that the guy wouldn't have a good meal because he wouldn't be Meis Panim.
Okay.
But in terms of being, he wouldn't be Kofar HaKol and Meis Panim. But in that Gemara, the guy is being Kofar HaKol and Meis Panim. So it's a problem with our Gemara because he said the guy wouldn't do that. And obviously the guy would do that.
In that.
Did I make a mistake?
Well, let's cheshbon together. The Gemara says that no, but there it's a Baal Chov. Here it's a Baal Chov. There it's not a Baal Chov.
Oh, sure.
So what's the Rajba's Kasha? You're in the right direction, but in Pshat, the issue here is the issue of Pshat. We got to get at the core of the Pshat over here. Yes, Eliezer Shlomo? I think it's so good that you got stuck on this because I would have just assumed the guys understood what the kasha was. So good. Yeah, go ahead.
Chakra, because he recognizes that he's lying to him. So same too with this case. This guy is coming in, bringing in his goat, saying that, oh yeah, he sold me these goats. But his friend recognizes that he's lying directly to his face, so he's being made fun of.
Okay.
And in that case, we still want to say that he has a migu.
Good. So what's the difficulty?
So the difficulty,
that's the part, Josh, you didn't emphasize.
The difficulty is here in our case in Baba Metzia, we don't believe him. But here in the case of Baba Basra on Daf Lam and Bab, we believe his migu. And we say, yeah, you're right, you have a migu.
In Bava Basra, you have a migu despite the fact
despite
that
the fact
it's
being made
ha'aza. And in our sugya, what did we say according to Tosfos? The reason why you're not neman by a mode of mitzvahs and you need to make a shvua, you don't have a migu because that migu is a migu da'aza. Wait a second. In Bava Basra, we accept a migu da'aza. That's the Rajba's kasha. Good Eli, good Yuda, beautiful. That's the Rajba's kasha. Gishmak kasha. Yes, Daniel?
Well, the cases aren't similar at all.
Right.
The case of Bava Basra is the case of Bari Hashem, and the case of our case is Bari Bari.
Who makes your point, first of all? Someone says that, or you're saying on your own? You're saying that when it comes to Modi B'miktsas, so over there, it's Bari V'Bari.
That's why the Migo wouldn't work.
So then, when it's Bari V'Bari, so then in such a case, I'm Bari, you're Bari, I know that you owe me, and therefore you're not Meis Panav B'Fanat. In contrast to the case of Hani Izi D'Achli Chushla, so then in such a case, then I have a migu because I know how much your animal ate, and you don't know how much your animal ate.
Who's
sitting
in the
Right. The question is, the problem is, I'll tell you my easy answer. We pass in Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi. That's the basic rule of thumb. That appears on Yud Beis on the Beis and Maseches Pesukim. So there we pass in Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi. The question now becomes, how far do we pass in Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi? That's a big, big discussion on that one. But I could push away your answer as a dechia and say simply we pass in Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi. But I don't know if that's a full. Sometimes the problem is what gets very, very complicated is at Siruf there are times that we use it. But you should know, in terms of sugyas, we pass in Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi. Now we pass in like Rav Huna, if I'm not mistaken, who said Bari V'Shem Alav Bari Yavi. So I think that might be.
I already
sidestepped his kasha. I already sidestepped. Whether ultimately he's right or wrong, look around in the Mefarshim to see if someone says that. I didn't see anybody say that. What you're saying is interesting, but that would be a regalachas. In other words, you've got to prove to me that this is a case where Bari really, really works. I didn't see anybody that makes your point. What's the Rajba's Teretz? V'ikol ha-meimar. The Rajba's Teretz is a very mysterious Teretz. V'ikol ha-meimar, d'migu ki hai lo olam lefturei mishua. that such a migu is not strong enough to exempt him from a shua. The awesome nami neman, and so too over there, he's going to be believed. Ubishvua, and with a shvua, ki hacha.
Where is the there?
Where is the there? Good question. V'chein kasva gaonim da'asam boilish tebuye. Avol migu avi lafturi mamona. But it works to exempt you from money. What's the Rajba's teretz? What's a Rajba's teretz? Yes, Yisrael?
That amigo da ha'ada only doesn't work to be chadjer from shua, but to be chadjer from mamona.
Very good. Amigo da ha'aza will only work to exempt you when it comes to mamon, but for shvua, it's not enough. In other words, if you want to use a migu, it's got to exempt you from a shvua, it's got to be a strong migu. If you're going to want to use a migu that's weak, in this case, a migu da aza, then even though it'll exempt you from mamon, it won't exempt you when it comes to shvua. The Rajba is saying quite a chidush, a fascinating chidush. What we're going to try to do is try to spend a little bit of time to understand why the Rajba is correct, or how to understand the Rajba, why that should be so. So far, so good, Max?
Good.
What does the Rajba mean when he says, V'hasam nami nema b'shvua kihacha? That the Rajba means as follows, that there, in the case of Azi d'chli chushla, that doesn't mean that if the guy has to make a shvua, that he's going to be exempt from the shvua. He'll still have to make the shvua. The Baal Shimon, who's going to be able to hold on to the goat, if he would be chayiv a shvua, he would also have to make a shvua. So the migu da'aza works, but migu da'aza only works for mamon and doesn't work for shua. Now, I find this an amazing, amazing chidush. That's why I'm having a little bit of obsession with this yisod, because this yisod we already discussed in the past. That is, that if you had asked me whether a weak migu would work, I would have said that to be motzi mamon, it shouldn't work. But to patur you from a shua, it would work. Which goes to show you that sometimes the Das HaRogil and Das HaTorah is the exact opposite. The Chazon Ish gives many examples in his letters where the logic of the Torah isn't necessarily the logic that we would call street logic. And that's one of the things that we're mevatel ourselves, the Das HaTorah, even when it seems to contradict street logic. If I had to choose on a multiple choice test, not only that, I would choose based on Mishnayos and basic Gemaras. Knowing basic Mishnah's basic Gemara, without being able to point to a particular Gemara, I would have guessed that a migu would have exempt you from shua, not exempt you from mamon. But here it's the exact opposite. It's a winner. The migu da'aza is a winner for mamon, but it's not a winner for shua. So the question is, what's the pshat? Why would one say such a thing? So I've already discussed this with you. Where did we discuss it? That's right, Rav Elchanan. I'm going to repeat the Rav Elchanan we did in the past, but now I'm actually going to, Ori will send you off with something, a gishmak, a chazara. I'm going to miss Ori a tremendous amount. Kesh Baruch Hu should give him siyata d'shmaya in everything that he does. He should come back often. Never stop learning from each other. Let's take a look at this is a repeat. In fact, for those who are good at holding on to their photocopies, I wasted some of Yeshiva's copies. Rav Elchanan in the Kovetz Shiurim gives a beautiful pshat over here, but I want to revisit actually. Do any of you remember when I discussed this Rav Elchanan Kiddushim Shir, Rav Avi Engelhardt went after me. He didn't let me go. And Rav Avi was right, and I was wrong. And I'll recap some of that. So this is a Gishmak Chazar, what we've done already in the past. Ori, were you in the shiur when we got up to Migul after Mishua? Were you in the shiur when we did Tosos, Dimar Maskel, Zenoto, Ravia? On Beis Hamelaf? Oh, so this is even new for you. Okay. So here we go, Rabbi Osei. First of all, I want to hear what you have to say before Rabbi Hanan. I want to hear what you have to say. What would be your suggestion? What's the pshat? If anything, it's counterintuitive, right? What should the pshat be? Why should it be that Migu would win when it comes to Mamon, but not win for Shavua? That Amigu leMamon, Amigu da'aza would work when it comes to Mamon? It's enough of a winner when it comes to Mamon. When it comes to Shavua, Amigu da'aza would not work. Yes, Eliezer Shlomo?
Shavua can help you keep your money or lose your money, correct? So if that's correct, then the...
By the way, that's incorrect already. and that is, let me explain, that the general rule of thumb is that a Shavua da'araisa works to keep your money, and a Shavua da'rabanan works to get you money.
Okay. But
okay, continue.
We see that shuas are...
Depends on whether you shuas the rice or the rabbanan. So all shuas the rabbanan are when you're taking money, and all shuas the rice is to hold on to money.
So here...
And here we're talking about shuas the rice.
Here we're talking about shuas the rice to keep the money. So here we see that he can keep his money because if a shua can make you keep your money, that means it's at a higher level than taking away money.
I follow you.
Like if a shvuah is good enough, if I take a shvuah to keep my money, that's good enough.
But what does that have to do with Migu Ha'aza not working by shvuah?
Because Migu Ha'aza not working by shvuah.
Think about it. Moshe, what do you want to say?
I think it's might be what we said. But that by a shvuah, your migu needs a higher level of believability because you're trying to say, I don't need a shvuah, I'm believed. It works through a migu that needs a higher level of believability, so therefore migu da azo, which is not such a high level of believability, won't work.
Right.
In regards to mamon, you just need to have the ability to have me the other time.
Okay, that's very similar. Rabbi Chanan just adds a little bit more lamdus, but that's similar along the lines of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Osei, this is probably the most famous chakira. It's kedai to repeat in all of Nezikin, and that is the chakira of how migu works. Is migu a koach hataino or is migu a nemonus? Dainu. That do you say that when it comes to a case where I have a migu? Put aside our sugya and write down a chakir when it comes to migu. And that is, when I have a migu, is it the fact that if I wanted to have lied, I could have lied better? I have a koach hataina. I have a anan sahadi. I have proof that I'm lying. I'll prove to you that my argument is stronger than yours, because if I wanted to have lied, I could have lied better. That's what we call in the yeshivas a koach hataina. That's one way of understanding migu. The other way of understanding migu is not that if there's anan sadi, a koach hataina. If I wanted to have lied, I could have lied better. But the ne'emonus, the believability of the wilder claim, so let's spell out what that is. In the case of modem mixas, it's kofar akol. Since I would be believed to be kofar akol, and I could have given that taina, that believability is transferred to the actual taina I gave. Again, you need to write this down and review it. This took me a year or two to internalize when I was your age. It's a beautiful chakira. Is it the pshat that the koach hataina that what I could have argued shows that I'm telling the truth? If I wanted to have lied, I could have lied better, and that proves that I'm not a liar. Or is it that the believability of the kofar hakol claim could be transferred to the other claim that I had made? That's the chakira in regards to migu. Okay, those are two tzadim of how to understand how migu works. Says Rabbi Chanan, what of the two migus are stronger, are more significant? The first one. Proof that I'm not a liar. That's a stronger level, a stronger power of Migu. That's a stronger Migu. And he says like this, a Migu de Ha'aza cannot be number one. It doesn't reach the litmus test. If I wanted to have lied, I could have lied better. You know why? Because it's a chutzpah for you who've done the second claim, the lie. In this case, the kofar akol, it's ha'aza. So therefore, you don't have the anan sahadi. On the other hand, you do have the believability that if I wanted to have lied, I could have said another lie, and therefore give me that believability of the other claim. So ne'monus amigu, you have by migu da'aza. A proof that you're not a liar, that you don't have. Now take a look at Rabbi Chanan inside, where he says the following. Chav beis. Our sugya. Such a case of tiny works. Rabbi Chanan was bothered by this great kasha, and that is, if anything, I would have chosen the opposite. Amnam lufia nizker le'el, based on what I had said about the chakir of how migu works, write in over here if this is the first time you're learning this. Lufia nizker le'el, the two different ways of understanding how migu works. Dibi migu ha'aza leka griusa ela bo chacha. You don't have the proof that I wanted to have lied. I could have lied better. But the koach ne'monus applies to migu aza as well. If he would have said, I was kofar akol, if he would have been kofar akol, he would have been believed. And here is the answer to the question. For mammon, you don't need anan sahadi. It's your word versus my word. If I could tilt the scale and say I have a little bit more nemonis than you, I win. That's enough to win. However, when it comes to Shmua, he adds, Avo, Lafdue Mishmua, Sarich Litaimo Danan Sadi, Shie Beru Bemokum Shmua, Shimi Varares. He claims that a Shmua is the ultimate Beruer that I'm telling the truth. It's one of the strongest proofs we have that if I'm willing to swear on the Sefer Torah, that's enough. Says Rabbi Chanan, that when it comes to a migu da'aza, since it doesn't have a level of anan sahadi, it's not enough to pater me from a shua. Migu da'aza lo aminan. But for mammon, ironically, for mammon, all I need is a certain level of nemonus. Why? How does that work? That I need a stronger level of nemonus? Because when it comes to mammon, it's a case of your word versus my word. And if it's your word versus my word, so then it's such a case. If I could show that my word has a little bit of strength, more strength than your word, and a little bit of strength in this case is that in the case of the ezim, I could have said that the ezim are mine, even though it's not a proof, but it's enough for me to give an added level of nemanus. So yeah, it's not a home run, it's not a double in the gap, but at the end of the day, it could serve as a squeeze bunt. As a squeeze bunt, it might be enough to get the run in. You need the runner already on third base. It's not going to be a three-run homer in the eighth inning, but if it's the guy's already on third base, it might be enough to an even better mashal. Nah, squeeze bunt's not good mashal. It's a long fly ball. It's another long fly ball, and the runner on third, that's a much better mashal. That's enough for him to be able to get the guy home. It's an out, but it's an RBI. It's enough for enough for it to work. Yes, Josh. Yes. A different mashal, soccer mashal. What do you want? A cooking mashal? What's that? You're sick of food probably by now.
anything besides sports.
Anything besides sports. Forget about the mashalim. Let's talk about the case again. The case itself. When it comes to the goats, Rabosai, I still have a lot to say. So I went a little slowly today because I wanted to make sure everybody knew where we were coming from. But I still have. I want to go back and fix something that I said 2 months ago. Show you how I think I used Rabbi Hanan incorrectly 2 months ago. But the answer to your question is the following. If you're talking about a migu working for mammon, so then in such a case, then it's not. Then the migu is not going to be able to work. The migu will be able to work for mammon because all it is my word against yours. And a migu that is just an emmanus is enough. However, when it comes to shvua, shvua is a berur. And shvua is a berur, a migu that's a migu da'aza, which is not a berur in of itself, cannot exempt me from a shvua that I need to do, which is a berur. That's what Rav Hanan is saying.
What do you mean by berur?
The berur is that until when the Torah puts a shvua on me, that proves that I'm only chayiv half. And when I make a shvua smodu mitzas, that proves I'm not a liar. So therefore, to exempt me from a shvua, I need to present something that's going to prove that I'm not a liar. And this is quite a chidush of Toin Vinita. The Rabbi Hanan is saying that for mamonos, I need a lower level of proof. That's quite a chidush. It's quite a chidush. Now, Rabosai, I already suggested to you that this is going to be Tosis Lishitasa. And I'm wrong. Let me present to you how the walls heard 2 months ago, and then show you that my pshat can't be correct. 2 months ago, I thought that this Tosas and this Yisod of Migul Afturi Meshua is also the same Yisod that is going on. Well, not Tosas Lishitasa. Is the same issue that's the Machlokes Rishon in Mambeis Amid Alf. Erase the word Tosas Lishitasa. But I use this in the context of Tosas about 2 months ago. Tosas and Dibra Maskel, the Zen Nota Revia, asks a very interesting question. Tosas' question is as follows for notes. V'im Tomar. Tosas asks, Yei Nemon. He should be leave. Dechetzio Shalmigu. Diba Yomar Kula Shali. Does everybody remember this Tosas? If you don't remember, I'll review it with you. Tosas said as follows. Tosas says, when I admit that half of the talis is yours, and I say the half is mine, and you say the whole talis is yours, so Tosas says, well, the Mishnah says, before Tosas, the Mishnah says that what happens? How do we split the talis? Scream? I mean, how do you do Yachloku?
3/4, 1/4.
Ask Tosos, I who admit that, I who say half is mine, so I should be believed, at least on this half, Migu Dibai Kama Kula Shali. That's Tosos' kasha. Let's see Tosos' words. Review. V'im Tomar, Yei Nemon, Dechetzio Shalo, Migu Dibai Kama Kula Shali. And he says, "Kedamrina bigemara, hi migu gufe lepatra mishvua, that the migu works to exempt you from a shvua." So here, my antenna went up, but it didn't. My antenna was right for going up, but I came to the wrong conclusion. There's the beauty of learning, that you could learn up the sugya and then realize, and it took me a long time to realize my mistake. When Rav Avi asked on me, I said, it's a good kasha. If you remember, I think it's the only kasha this year that we haven't gone back to. I said, Rav Avi has a good kasha. I mentioned this kasha, and I said, but I didn't realize what my mistake was until today. Until I really did the sugya well. So I said, wow, Tos is assuming that Migu could exempt you from a shua. That's amazing. Tosas assumes Migu is going to exempt you from a shvua. And Tosas asks, so why didn't the Migu over here exempt you from a shvua? And what's Tosas' answer? Migu lo hotzi lo amrino. What did I expect Tosas to say? What I expected? Exact opposite of our... Right, the Rajba. Exactly. Exact opposite from the Rajba. Beautiful, Shimon. And that is that I expected Tosas to say... Migu lafturi shua lo amrinon. Tells us didn't say it. Ooh. So I got all excited, and I remembered there's a beautiful discussion whether Migul works to exempt you for a Shua. So I suggested that those Rishonim that don't ask Tosis is Kasha, they hold Migul after a Shua Amrinan, and I developed the Chakira of why that would be so, that a Migul could work to exempt you from Shua, even though a Migul da'aza would not exempt you from, a Migul da'aza would exempt you from Mamon, but a Migul da'aza would not exempt you from a Shua. Because I pointed out that there are some Rishonim who say that there's a Migul da'aza over here. And therefore I suggested that Tosas doesn't go with that Yesod that I presented before. Tosas doesn't learn like the Rajba, like Rabbi Chana, because he assumes that Migul works to exempt you from a Shua. So Avi started asking me, but Luchura, it's a Beferish and Gemara. Luchura, there's a Beferish and Gemara that our Gemara seems to say Migul da Aza doesn't work, because our Gemara says Chazaki on the Meis Panim Efnei Bal Chova. And that was Tosis' own answer, Migul da Aza lo Amrina. So what did you see? That Tosis holds that Migul da'aza does exempt you from a Shua. But I came back to Rav Avi and I said, but wait a second. Tosis quotes a Gemara that says Beferish that a Migul does exempt you from a Shua. So I got all confused and I said, I gotta wait till I do the Sugis. Then I realized that what I said in Tosis is wrong. Our Tosis is Beferish like the Rajba. A Migul da'aza doesn't exempt you from a Shua. I, Tosas, had a Migul da'aza exempting you from a Shua over there. So here, Rav Avi pointed out to me that there is the Mordechi, when he discusses our Tosas, the Mordechi says that there's a fundamental difference between the Shua on Daf Beis Amid Aleph that Tosas wanted the Migul to exempt you from, and the Shua on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. Who could be mechavin to the difference between the two? And therefore, I'm chozer on the pshat that I wanted to say that the Rishonim that disagree with Tosos hold Migul da'aza does not exempt you from a Shua, while Tosos holds Migul da'aza does exempt you from a Shua. I'm wrong! Because the Gemara in Gimel and Aleph, according to Tosos, says that a Migul da'aza does not... How does it go? A Migul da'aza... That's Cheshman. Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara answers Chazaka ain't on the Meis Panu Efnei Balchova. So Migul da'aza doesn't exempt you from a Shvua. Yet Tosas on Beis Amid Aleph had a Migul da'aza exempting you from a Shvua. And now I was stuck. I'm stuck. Ori, go ahead. Very good. And it's Dirabon, but more than that. Excellent. So really what I said was incorrect, because you know what I did? There's a flag on the play. I made a mistake. My mistake was, I used Rav Elchanan's Lomdus on Migul da'aza for Patriu from a Shua by a Shua da'araisa on a Machlokis on a Shua da'rabbanan. That was my error. Sometimes you can learn a lot from your Rabbeim's error. And that is, take a look at the Mordechi. The Mordechi says this out. But sometimes you don't realize the error. Because you're not in that sugya, you don't realize where it's incorrect. Take a look at the Mordechi on Reish Kezayin. This Mordechi we did. That the Mordechi says, "Upirish mi lekamon v'nehemnim b'migul d'kol parakol yesh lomar dahayinu liftar." Basically, the Re is bothered by a very similar type of question. And that is that our Gemara wanted to say that the Migul was going to exempt you from a Shmua. So he says, "Dahayinu," and yet the Gemara says, "Migul da'aza lo aminan." He says, "Dahayinu lifter mishvua de migul kaldu patrina le mishvua." Ukidu kamon gabe shvua de masnisin. So in Mordechi, you have to read a new twist. I read this Mordechi, but I didn't realize that the Mordechi is saying something. It's not mefurish, but you have to say. That's why I don't feel so guilty about my mistake. It's not mefurish in the Mordechi, but you have to say that the Mordechi is saying like this, that a migul koldu which we call a migu de ha'aza, doesn't work to exempt you from a shvua, will exempt you from a shvua in the Mishnah, only by the shvua of the Mishnah of Talis. Why? She'eino ela k'dei she'oye kol echad v'echad holuch v'tokiv taliso shel chaveiro. Because there, that's a shvua, that's only a shvua midrabanan. So any type of migu is going to work. Even a migu da'aza. Even a migu da'aza. In contrast to when it comes to a shvua da'raisa, then a migu da'aza is not going to work. So I am now chozer to what we said on Tosfos on the Beis Amud Aleph. I wanted to say that Tosfos and the other Rishonim were arguing whether a migu will exempt you to a shvua. They might be arguing about that, but they're not arguing about the Rajba. They're not arguing about Rabbi Chanan. All of those Yisodos are true. All of those Yisodos are true. But there, the Rishonim are arguing whether a migu da'aza will exempt you from a shvua midrabanan. That Tosfos did assume that a migu da'aza is going to accept you from a shvua midrabanan. But I had a flag on the play. Because I used the Yisod of the Rajba, which Rabbi Chanan advances with the beautiful Hezber. All of that is not relevant, because it must be, because otherwise it would be a stira mineu bei Tosfos. Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph assumes before does not exempt you from a shvua. Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, according to many Rishonim, is saying a migu da'aza does exempt you from a shvua. So it must be the answer to this kasha was bothering me for 2 months. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't put a finger on what was wrong. You must say that the vart is that this is only talking about a shvua midrabanan, and this will answer another kasha. There seems to be a stira in sugyas. On Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, all I'm doing is rephrasing now the Rishonim. On Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Lahave kemeshav aveda v'litmar." Why is this guy need to make a shvua? Let him be considered a meshav aveda be potter. Answers the Gemara, "Kamash malon dahai rume kamaharit." This guy is playing tricks with us. So wait a second. So this guy is a Rumei Kama'ar. He's a Rumei Kama'ar. Said Tosos, if not for a Rumei Kama'arim, nevertheless he be chayv a shvua. All the Rishonim assume that's a migu da'aza, that it's a migu da'aza. Even though the guy has a migu da'aza, would have exempted you from a shua. I thought migu da'aza lo amrinan. What's the answer? The answer is you're right. The migu da'aza you would say on the shvua midrabanan, but you wouldn't say on the shvua da'raisa. So what we said, there's no stira between the sugyas. There's no theory between the Tosfos and Migu Laftur Shua Lo Amrinan by Migu Da Aza and Shua Da Raisa. But in Shua Da Rabbanan, you would say. Okay, Rabosai. Emirza Hashem on Sunday. What we're going to do is we're going to spend one more day on Bikuli Bai Lo Dile, Migu Da Fashion Mona Fasha Chuasa, and then we are starting Emirza Hashem.